Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise God. Hey man, the last time I came here and I greeted people good morning, there was such a small voice in the congregation, but today it's like 100 times more. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh look, somebody was signaling to me that my question was not loud enough. Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Philip and Irene, for inviting me back. I just want to make an official apology to him and the church, because twice he invited me. One was I had to travel. The second time in June, I had to rush back to Malaysia for a family crisis. And yet, because my mom was really sick, and eventually she went to be with the Lord. But all of this, there was amazing things that came about, testimonies and miracles and stuff like that. And we had a wonderful Christian funeral for my mom. How good is that? Amen? Well, that will be another sermon altogether. Tell you something, I was preparing for today and I had a good sermon already. And just about 3 weeks, as I was putting it all together, I had a dream. When I had a dream, God says, this is what I want you to read, this passage. And I want you to bring this message to the church that you are going to preach. Oh man, God, I got 3 weeks and I don't have the structure, I don't have the backbone, I got to put the notes together. But that short passage is what is all required. And all of this, then I put all the facts together and I knew God wanted this word for the congregation, this church here this morning. Are you ready? We want to have to look at the scripture first. I think they will control for me the scriptures, the people in the slide. Before we do that, why don't we pray? Father, we release to you this morning as we celebrate Father's Day. We know, God, the heart of the Father, that is you yourself, Father. You have shown and demonstrated to the world, God, that you love us. You care for each and every one of us. Help us, oh God, to begin to reciprocate, Lord, and be grateful, Lord God, for all your goodness and your love for us. This morning, we stand before you and hear your word. Minister to us in a powerful way, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, just begin to take control of our thoughts and our mind, that we will hear your word and nothing else. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. It reads, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciple, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by the Father in heaven. I want to cross-examine another passage in John chapter 1. Next slide. John chapter 1 verse 19. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. 21 says, they asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Next slide. Today, I want to title my sermon, Labels, Tags, or Contents. Next slide. Is it working? Okay. Labels, tags, or contents. You know what? Jesus spent a lot of time with his disciples. He worked with them. He teach them. He talked to them. He spent time praying with them. He demonstrated to them all about his destiny on earth. As the Son of God, he came down in humility to become the Son of Man and began to dwell among the people. And then finally, he just put them aside and gave them a little quiz. The first, he gives them two questions. One is an objective question, which objective questions are very easy, right? How many of you are teachers? You know what I mean. Right? You can just choose. And often time you can get it right. The second one was a subjective question. Alright, so the first question, it says, who do the people say I am? He was wanting to know the popular opinion of the crowd. There have been a lot of rumors, gossips going around about Jesus. So he wanted to know, what does the people say he is? The common view of the people was, oh, because in the Old Testament, if you look at the next slide, it says Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. I will raise up for them a prophet from you, from among the fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. So you see, they were all preparing, they were all looking for someone that was told by Moses that will be raised up. Okay? In the end times, a prophet who will have a voice. So they were all looking for signs. They were looking for the right people, the right person. So generally, the common view of the people was, he's John the Baptist. No, maybe he's not. He's Elijah. No, maybe he's not. Or he's Jeremiah. Or possibly one of the prophets. Well, that's fine. Next, Jesus went to the subjective question. Hey, wait a minute. Now tell me, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? He wanted his disciples, the one that are very close to him. He wants to make a stand. He wants to draw a line in the sand. Right now, it will determine the destiny of your relationship and your understanding and your knowledge of who am I. He was wanting his disciples to make a stand. Guess what? Everybody was quiet. Everyone was silent. As usual, the loudmouth, the flamboyant, the charismatic, Simon Peter. Hey, bro, I know you who you are. You must be the Messiah. As usual, Simon Peter never let anything drop. He was just say, Messiah is also known as the chosen one, the anointed one in Hebrews. I guess Jesus said, it's not flesh and blood that has revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. It's because of the understanding of Peter with Jesus all this time that was he was with Jesus. He understand. He was walking. He was seeing. He was witnessing all that Jesus has demonstrated. And Peter got it right. Well, other times he had other issues. But I'm telling you, that moment, Jesus said yes. What does the world think of Jesus? What are the labels and texts that are put on Jesus? I tell you what, for the non-believers in the street, if you ask them who is Jesus, he's just a good man, a philosopher, a religious leader. He's possibly something to do with the white people, a white religion, or Mr. Nice Guy. Church, I believe Jesus is going to ask us this question. Who do you say I am? What about us? I remember Pastor Philip was praying just now for the communion. That God will give us boldness to share the love of Jesus to the world. If Jesus was to ask us this question, who do you say I am? What is your answer? What is your response, church? Can we make a confession like Peter? Are we bold enough to say, yes, I know my God. I know my Savior. I know my Messiah. Your response will determine not only your level and your position of your relationship, but your eternal destiny, church. A lot of us have never made that stand. Most of us as Christians, been Christians for so many years. Chances are, when we are asked, who is Jesus? Oh, he's Son of God. He's a Messiah, he's a Prince of Peace, he's the Lord of Lords, and what not. I tell you what, all these answers are fantastic, correct, to the dot, on the money. But it means nothing to the man in the streets, understand? It means nothing to the man in the streets. These are all doctrinal answers. These are theoretical answers. Great stuff in the Bible college. But a man in the streets needs to know who is Jesus. You know, I can lead you to two ways. You can demonstrate and tell who is Jesus that the world needs to hear. First thing is, tell them what the Bible says. Next slide. Tell them what the Bible says about Jesus. You know what? The thing about knowing, talking about something that's written, for example, the founder of Singapore, Lee Kuan Yew, who has recently passed away, right, sometime in May. A lot of us who lived through the generation with him knows, we can understand. He was talking, he was alive, he was running the country. But what about our children's children, the third and fourth generation? All they know about Lee Kuan Yew is just a history. And you can only know about him by reading his autobiography, right? His books, his memoirs. Hey, same way. If you want to know about Jesus, or you want to talk about Jesus, you need to read the Bible. You need to find out from the Bible. You need to bring across the Bible to the people, that they know, who is this Jesus? I tell you, Jesus is God. He says in the Bible, John 10:30, Jesus is holy, Hebrews 4:15. Jesus is the Savior, Acts 16:31. He is the Son of the living God, Matthew 16:16. He is God Almighty. We can go on and on, but I tell you, you need to point the people, them to the Bible. What's the Bible says? Of course, first you talk about the attributes of Jesus. Next, we can talk about Jesus' power and authority on earth, and his power and authority over your life, over your family. To me, I'm going to tell them that Jesus is a healer. Mark 5, he healed a woman with the issue of blood. Mark 7, Jesus healed the deaf and the mute. Mark 8, he healed the blind man at Bethsaida. And then in Luke 17, he healed the 10 lepers. He is a healer, not only in the Bible, he's a healer to me. When you can talk about your testimonies later on. He's a deliverer, Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. He drove out the evil spirit from the two demon-possessed men. And then Matthew chapter 5, again, he delivered the man with the evil spirit who lived in the cemeteries, in the caves. And he was a provider. He's a miracle worker. He provided for the people of Israel. He provided for Elijah. And then he feed the 4,000 and the 5,000. He's more than a provider. He feeds. He's a miracle worker. Next, I'm going to tell about Jesus. He's compassionate. He is a comforter. In John chapter 11, he comforted Martha and Mary when they lost Lazarus before Jesus raised him up from the dead again. He comforted them. And he's a teacher. Jesus is a teacher. All the time he spent with his disciples or the people, he taught them. He taught them. He always wanted to teach them. He taught them the mouth of the Sermon on the Mount. He taught them in parables. And all the time he was teaching them about the kingdom's principles. And last but not least, Jesus is an evangelist. How many of you agree with that? Amen? Jesus is an evangelist. Every opportunity he's given, he talked to them about the kingdom. He talked to them about the word of God. He talked to them about repentance. Okay, Peter and James and John, he walked along the beach. He saw the three fishermen. Hey, come on, join me. And they joined him. And then he saw Matthew, the tax collector. He said, come on, follow me. Matthew dropped everything and follow him. And he spoke to the woman and the Samaritan woman. He looked at a tree and he saw a man hiding in a tree. He called Zacchaeus, come down. And then he joined him. He caught a woman in adultery. Everybody wanted to stone her. But Jesus said, come on, I forgive you. Go and sin no more. And he spoke to the young rich ruler who refused to give up his wealth to follow him. And finally, Jesus was even hanging on the cross. He's still talking to people. He saved the two thieves. Jesus was an evangelist. These are the things I'm going to talk about Jesus. Who is Jesus to me? The Word of God tells me this, and this is what He is attributes, His authority, His power. Hey, secondly, how am I going to describe Jesus? I'm going to tell Him about my life encounter, my experiences. The problem is, you can only talk about somebody if you know them personally. If you go to the party last night and met a man, okay, or a woman, and when you come back and you begin to tell your wife or your husband, oh, I met this guy at a party, Tell me about him. Oh, man, I think he looks tall. He wears glasses. And he works in, I don't know, I think he's some professional. And that's about it. Because you don't know him enough. You need to spend time, go out again, spend a bit more time having lunch, having a meal, having a cup of coffee, and you get deeper and deeper, right? How did you know your wife before you marry him? Or marry her? Sorry. Hey, man, I'm not saying marry him becomes very dangerous, okay? Look, how do you marry your wife or your spouse? You spend time courting. You spend time communicating. And you know about each other. That's why, when you want to find out about Ronnie, don't go and ask your pastor. Your pastor will not tell you. Pastor will not tell you everything about Ronnie's. But ask the wife. Okay? If you want to ask, you want to know about Doris, ask William. The spouse will know everything about each other, right? It's not that Pastor Philip doesn't want to tell you. That's the Privacy Act. You know, Privacy Act? He cannot release all the information he's privy to. Amen? Do you know Jesus enough to talk about him? Do you know this man enough to share and talk about him? Do you make a stand for Jesus? Unless you know him personally, church. It's all about life experiences. It's all about your encounters with Jesus. I tell you what, the one person that I know who never stopped talking about Jesus, every moment, every opportunity, is the woman that I'm married to. She's not here today. But my wife, I tell you, she never stopped talking about Jesus every opportunity. Okay, I'm going to borrow her testimony today here. The last time she went to a hairstylist, and she saw two or three hairstylists, they're all non-Christians. And she began to do her hair. And she started the conversation. She began to share about the goodness of God. And they were all so excited. The hairstylist was keeping doing her hair and cutting her hair. And she was talking about God's goodness, how God healed her of her sickness, how God ministered to her family. And then all these hairstylists were so excited, keep on asking questions. And then finish. She had to go and pay the money. The next customer had to come in. And she said, it's not done. I must go back. Guess what? She went back and cut her hair again. And so eventually she went to the hairstylist about 5 times, getting her hair cut shorter and shorter and shorter. All for the sake of engaging the hairstylist and talking to her about the goodness of God. Eventually she was able to save her. How good is that? She wants to find opportunity to share and talk about an encounters of Jesus to others. I can tell you about my encounter. I know my Jesus healed my son when he was 6 months a baby. He had suffered a very life-threatening viral attack of the stomach. And whatever we tried to feed him the night before, it came out from the mouth. He vomited water, milk, brisket, whatever it is, came out from the mouth. He could not even digest anything. The doctors diagnosed as intussusception. It's a virus that attacked the intestines. It's all entangled, quiet up. Nothing goes through. Fortunately, we were able to rush him to the hospital. Can you imagine the trauma of a parent with a baby of 6 months old, first child, first kid, and we were all traumatized. We all were in the corridor praying, Lord Jesus, unless you intervene, we're not going to see our son again. Sure enough, miracle happened. The doctor went in, did a big, a major a surgery, okay, and then he was healed. Hallelujah. Until this day, I will always talk about the miracle of Jesus upon my son. This is all about life experiences. And I want to tell you again, that because the Lord says in His Word, Psalm 91, that He will send His angels to take charge of me. I had a helicopter accident 20 years ago. The whole helicopter, which is a big machine, twin engine, offshore helicopter, smashed into the ground, total wreck, I walk out alive. Jesus' hand was there. Mercy and grace. And I can tell you, this is a life experience that you must not keep quiet. You and I may have a different experiences. You and I may have a different encounters. But you need to keep talking about God's goodness to your life and your family and the children. Amen? What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? This is a very important question. We all spend time talking to people about stocks, about shares, about work, about sports, about soccer. If you love cricket, if you love EPL, footies, whatever. We can go on and talk about because we love that issue. We love that matter. We talk about career, we talk about jobs. But how much time do we talk about Jesus with someone over the meal? I don't know. You need to answer the question. The reason why many of us never talk about Jesus is because we don't have enough knowledge. We don't have any encounters because we don't pray enough, that we're not getting answered prayer. If you know the Bible and Scripture so well, or not necessarily so well, but enough to begin to talk about Jesus. There is a hymn. Those of us who are from the traditional churches will have heard this hymn called "I Love to Tell the Story." How many of you heard this hymn? Oh yeah. I was from a Methodist church I grew up. And this is one of the hymns that we sing. "I Love to Tell the Story." Alright? You see, it says, "I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do." It was written by Catherine Hankey, who was born in London in 1834. Early in her life, she developed a fervent evangelistic zeal and started a Bible class for the girls in her neighborhood. In the late teens, she began organizing Sunday schools for the girls in London, not only to teach them each week, but to write and publish poems and gospel tracts to hand out to the classes. And out of these poems, the hymn, "I Love to Tell a Story," came about. She belonged to a group, an influential group called the Clapham Sect. Most members of this group were prominent and wealthy evangelical Anglicans. A well-known member of this group was William Wilberforce. Who is William Wilberforce? "Amazing Grace." Remember the movie? You see, that's people even writing the hymn. That's a song. Do you have a story to tell, church? What story have you been telling to people? What story have you been telling your friends except your Jesus? Are we silent when we come to talk about Jesus? When was the last time you talked to someone about Jesus? What do you talk over your meals, over lunch, over dinner? Do we hide away Jesus because we don't want to offend somebody? Because we want to remain popular in your workplace? Sad to say, some of us may be Christians for many years, but we have nothing to talk about Jesus when we are asked. I tell you, the world and the enemy wants us to remain silent. The longer we are silent, the better we are for the enemy. It's time we make a stand on that issue, same-sex marriage. Where is the church? Where is the voice of the church? When it comes to issues going to affect or impact the whole new generation, whereby there will be no one parent or the other, it's a very dangerous time that we are living in, unless the church rise up. What labels and what texts can you describe Jesus? I believe this morning, Jesus is saying, "Hey, stop everything. Stop. I know you are doing church. I know you are doing good things. I know you are doing what you need to do on Sunday, on Friday, on cell group. But stop everything. I want each one of you to listen up." Can you imagine? Who do you say I am? It's just like a review, you know? Your boss will pull you after 1 year to your office, to his office, and say, "Now listen, this is your performance." Jesus wants to know, where is our stand on relationship with Him? Who am I to you? What is your confession? Am I just a wonderful person? Am I just somebody like when you pray, you want something answered, you come to me? Labels. Next slide. Labels. From the world's perspective, labels define the contents. We inspect the label before we purchase something, right? The label tells you the contents. It tells you where it's made from, where it comes from, the ingredients that it's made, and all the types of good things that comes of it, the nutrients, the vitamins, and the government is now imposing that there must be good, correct, truthful labels. I'm going to demonstrate to you a very important illustration. This morning, I'm going to give out a leather handbag, a ladies' leather handbag, okay? And it has four brands. I want you to tell me, after looking at the four brands, and tell me which one the majority of you will be going for. All right, let's start. Okay, this is the ladies' handbag, okay? The first brand is called Zebra. Zebra brand. Are you guys already giggling, huh? Don't trust me, right? All right. Zebra brand. Some of you may be wearing Zebra brand. I don't know. It may be good. And this brand comes from a very famous Chinese millionaire. He's like the Alibaba.com. He knows his stuff. He manufactures good leather handbags. Okay? And he has a logo which is like a Superman. It's called Tan Bo Liao. You see, the Asian Chinese are laughing. Okay, because then there's an acronym. Bo Liao in Chinese stands for no brand. Mr. Tan, no brand. Okay? So, I'm not sure how many of you is going to grab this handbag. Okay, the third brand I'm going to offer to you is the famous Ayam brand. Ayam in Malay is chicken. Chicken brand produce very good ladies handbag. Trust me. Trust me. Now you guys are laughing more. Okay. Ayam brand is the third ladies handbag. And the final one I can offer you, if you are keen, is Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton, ladies handbag. I tell you, this is also one of the good ones. Okay. Did I hear Ayam brand? Somebody wants to go for Ayam brand? Ayam brand, if it's the coconut milk, I'm sure I will go for Ayam brand, right? Okay. Who is going for Zebra? Show me your hand. Zebra. Nope. Who's going for Tan Bo Liao? Zero. Wow. Who's going for Ayam brand? Zero. Who's going for Louis Vuitton? Come on. Wow, yeah. You see? Labels defines the contents. I'm going to come back to this later on, okay? Labels that are put on us must be related to something unique about us. Perhaps your occupation, perhaps your actions, perhaps your achievements, or your success, or your failures. It follows your name. The Bible has a lot of illustrations, okay, of labels and texts that they put on people. For example, Joseph, they call him the dreamer. Hey, later on, please, can you turn this slide off? Okay? He's jumping ahead of me. Okay, cool. Jacob, he's known as the deceiver. David, the shepherd boy. Gideon, he was known as the mighty warrior. Peter was known as the fisherman and then the rock. Matthew is the tax collector. Thomas, he's known as the doubter. Judas, the traitor, betrayer. Even Jesus, he was also known as the carpenter boy. Philip, the evangelist. Okay, just because Philip in the scriptures in Acts talk about he heard the word of God, he went to share the word to the Ethiopian eunuch and then baptize him. And then of course he saved a lot of souls. He was known as evangelist. But the real evangelist is sitting here, the Philip Chia. On Sundays, after Sunday, he preached the word, saving souls. Amen? Your pastor is the evangelist. Amen. Amen. Your label and your reputation will precede your presence. Right, you can show the slide now. In the Bible, Joseph was so well known to his brothers that they labeled him a dreamer. You see, in Genesis 37:19, he says, the brothers say, here comes the dreamer. They say to each other, because he has so many dreams that God dropped upon him, that each time he had a dream, he bring to his brothers. And all the time, it's all about him. Not about his brothers. He says, you guys going to submit to me. You guys going to bow to me. I'm going to be the leader. Although he's the youngest. Or sort of. But he has this dream. That's why the brothers hated him. Get offended. Angry with him. Label him dreamer. In Judges chapter 6, 6:12, when the angels of the Lord appeared to Gideon, the angels say, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior, naming Gideon. When we refer to someone, we cannot recall his name, or we don't want to use his name, what do? We give a description of the person, right? I'm going to give you some funny labels. Okay, funny labels coming up. I'm sure you guys heard of this before. Hey, you mean the guy with the big tummy? Oh no, we call her the Prada woman. She has all branded stuff on her body. I know you're talking about the Wallop King. Wallop King? Is he going for dinner too? Oh my God, not her again. The chatterbox. She's coming too. Come on, tidy up. Miss Fussy is in town. Miss Fussy. Are you referring to the botak guy who put the fuel in the diesel engine? These are the things that we always give descriptions about others. Some bad labels you heard of. Bad leader? Man, he's just too controlling. You're talking about a man who was unfaithful to his wife? Or guess what? That foul-mouthed boss is still around. I think you're referring to the woman who humiliated her husband last night. Hey, look, that con man who sells fake watches is coming again. We know him well enough. He never drives his car. He always gets a free lift. Oh no, this couple is famous. They never bring food during our meetings. Always eat for free. Anyone can identify with this? Come on, nudge your neighbor. Why so quiet? Good labels. I love this pastor. Always have time for us. Very humble. Hey, look, I can't remember her name. That sister always cook a lot. Cook excessive. And always bless us. Ah, the young man. I remember the young man always come to my house and mow my lawn for free. I offer him give some money he doesn't want. I like this guy. He smiles a lot. He's very charming. He makes my day on Sunday every time I come to church. Look, the man over there, he always offers his car. He lets somebody use his car, especially the visitors. He never worries. And God seems to be blessing him. Look, I've been observing this church. The lady over there, nearly 90, still serving God faithfully, never retire. And the last one, I'm so touched. My cell group leader, my life group leader, he calls me, pray for me regularly, even though I'm so new, even though I loaded her with so many problems, she always pray for me. Which group do you belong to? These are the labels that you're going to hear, you're going to see. No matter what we do, we will carry a label or a tag with us. People always remember, people will always label us in our actions or in our bad actions. Listen, if you kill somebody, you're known as the murderer. If you touch somebody, you are a toucher. Not toucher. Molester. Okay? Whether you're proven in the court or not, okay? If you hack in somebody's computer, are you a troubleshooter? No! You are a hacker. Why? They name you hacker. Because you are hacking into something. And you begin to populate my inbox with rubbish. You are a spammer. Okay. And if you love drinking, you're so addicted to alcohol. What do they call you? Alcoholic. Not bottle shop. I think you should be called a bottle shop because you almost live with bottles all around you. Hey, listen, this is our labels that we hear of day in and day out. Jesus has a label around him too. He was romanticized. He was sentimentalized. He was fictionalized. He was idolized. He was modernized. He was popularized. He was trivialized. He was visualized. He was scrutinized, criticized, crucified, and sacrificed. That's what Jesus is. He had a label around him too. But despite all the attacks and the labels around him, he walked the talk and live a life of no sin. That's why Peter called him the Messiah, the Savior, and the Son of God. Church, we know sometimes we have labels around us, good or bad. What kind of label that you are carrying? How many of you do with web designing here? Does understand web designing? Part of web designing, when you finish the web designing, there is a software or sort of a program on the back end called SEO, Search Engine Optimization. When you do SEO, you need to put in the right text so that when the right text are put in, people who are looking for your website will be able to find your website. The more traffic, human traffic goes to your website, the more popular, the more people will visit your website, and you're selling some stuff, you get more visits, right? More hits. That's natural. It's called SEO. I was designing a website for a brother-in-law. He's an artist in Singapore. So he does a lot of oil painting. When I finish his website, so in the SEO section, I put in oil painting. I put in gallery. I put in Singapore artist. I put in local artist. I put in framing. I put in oil, brushes, palettes, things like that. Okay? So that people can find his website. You know what? I'm a man of many talents. So that you can continue to, you will not be redundant. You see? So not only you are a pastor, a pilot, a web designer, you got to do a lot of stuff so that you will not be out of job. Amen? In these end of times, you got to be ready for everything. So in short, people use text to search for something. What text do they use when people want to talk to you about you? I want to give you an example. If somebody were to Google tonight, Google 10 most corrupted people in the world. You know what's the name that come out? My name. Yu Meng Lim will be the top of the list. And then if you try Google, Australians caught for tax evasion. Top of the list, Yu Meng Lim. Oh my. And the last one, Singaporean most wanted criminal. Yu Meng Lim again. So, I'm famous. I have this tax around me. How would it look on me when you search for something? Let's reverse the scenario. And somebody search Google. Most humble person ever lived. Yu Meng Lim. Wow. Australian of the Year 2016. Next year, okay? Watch it. Watch it. It's coming. Watch this space. Yu Meng Lim. Woo! The last one. I'm looking for a general helper 24/7 for free. The first name come out. Yu Meng Lim. Oh man, how nice it is. Which tech do you want around you? But I guess you know, there are so many millions of Yu Meng Lim around the world. It's not me, okay? Not necessarily me. Because I remember Hendrix, my younger son. He was pregnant, my wife was pregnant with him 6 months in Norway. So we pray for a name. And somehow, God gave us this name called Hendrix, A-N-D-R-I-X. It's a big mix of everything. And it's not a biblical name. So when he grew up and became a young boy at 12 or 13 years old, he said, Dad, Mom, how you guys got this name for me? I couldn't even find it somewhere. I said, I don't know. Maybe it's a Norwegian mixed with Singapore, whatever. So he decided to Google. He was trying to find, is there anybody else with the same name, Hendrix? He Googled Hendrix. Guess what? You know, he get to read all the links that comes up, you know. And then he saw something there, Hendrix Lim. He clicked the link, opened up. He found that it was a blog. A blog was written by a friend in Singapore, the same church. This girl, young girl of 12 years old, said, I have a friend in Australia, his name is Hendrix Lim, and he went away, I miss him so much. Wow, you see? Then Hendrix said, wow, Michelle is writing about me. See, you can find something that's related, and then you'll know what's going on. But he couldn't find another name, Hendrix Lim, sad to say. But I tell you what, when I was preparing this sermon, I Googled 100 people who changed the world. Jesus Christ was listed on top of the search engine. Let's give praise to Jesus. Come on. He was listed as the top in the search engine. 100 people who changed the world. How about titles? A lot of people love titles before their name and after their name, right? Doctor so-and-so. Okay, Professor so-and-so, behind the name, MBBS, BSc, PhD, ABC, MSG, HSBC. What? Come on! People are so conscious about titles before and after. I remember I went to see somebody, I think he could be a PhD by training. So I said, I want to see Mr. Tan, and then I was rebuked by the secretary. He said, By the way, his name is Dr. Tan. Oh, sorry, okay, all right, Dr. Tan, fine. Okay, so see, the secretary was trained to make sure that the boss is known as Dr. Tan. Well, I was ready. One day, he's going to call me for my report. He's going to call for Mr. Lim. I'm going to say, Mr. Lim is not in. You're looking for Professor Lim? He's here, okay? It's not the label, the titles, but your contents that will precede you, church. Contents means your character and your integrity. When Peter called Jesus Messiah, Savior of the world, the chosen one, Jesus indeed fulfilled and lived up to that name. Jesus was used in many countries, in Spain, in Philippines, in South America. They like to call their kids Jesus. I wonder whether they can live up to that name, Jesus. We call ourselves world changers, but we never left Perth City, let alone Australia. We call ourselves history makers. What history have we made? It's a relevant question, church. Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln, Nelson Mandela, Mahatma Gandhi, who are these people? These are politicians, civil rights leaders, founders of the nations. They are the real history makers, world changers. Obviously, they are bad ones, like Adolf Hitler and things like that. Church, sometimes you can do all that you have done, good achievement. But I guess, for the moment you have a trip of failure, people have put a label on you. Correct? We all remember Tiger Woods as the best golfer in the world. He won so many majors that nobody can come close to his achievements. He was renowned. He was merchandised as the icon of the world for sports. But the moment he fell into adultery, indiscretion. Every time you talk about Tiger Woods, they don't talk about his golf anymore. He's talking about his character. Talk about his life. How sad it is. I'm sure God can forgive every one of us we have sinned in life. What are the labels and the text that people have put upon you that you don't deserve? I know some of us sitting here and felt that, no, God, I knew that this is something I don't deserve. Some of you have been given and been living with that tag and this label for years, since childhood, and it's become a curse and a bondage over you. I tell you what, as you come to the altar today, we're going to pray for you that Jesus will break that bondage, that the stronghold over you, that label will be broken in Jesus' name. Amen? So when Jesus asked, who do you say I am? He was not wanting us to say nice things about him. No worry. Don't need to talk about the nice things about me. He was wanting us to affirm and confirm. Because his reputation, his power is already preceding him. There were already murmurs around. There was already talk in the town. I'm going to come to the next one, the church. All right? Church. What about a church? The church name is not defined by its name alone, but by the contents, by the works that comes out from the church. I'll give you an example. Some Catholics, all right, this is a Catholic church. Church can name them, there's a Catholic church that's called Church of the Lady of Sorrow. Does it mean that every Sunday a lot of ladies will be gathering and sobbing and grieving? No. It's a name. The Church of the Lady of Sorrow doesn't mean that it's a crying church. What about church which have awesome and high calling names, like Church of the One, True, and Living Jesus? Wow, all the other churches have a non-living Jesus? The true church, the true Jesus church. Wow, are we having a false Jesus church? The pure and Holy Spirit church. Global Mission Church. Miracle Healing Church. Man, fantastic names. Awesome. Having the name is one thing. Living up to that name is a big challenge. Amen? Things that come out from our church matters more. It's not the branding, not the label, not the text, but the contents that makes up the church. Can you imagine a miracle healing church never had one healing, never had one deliverance for years? Can you imagine a global mission church never sent out any missionary, never supported any missions around? And a holy and pure church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the pastors and leaders are entangled in sins. There's a church I know in Queensland. When they want to name the church, the pastor said, I'm going to call it Church on the Edge. What? Church on the Edge? All the leaders panic. Pastor, are you sure? on the edge. It's like almost on the fall over. It's like we're going to trip and fall. So they were all very in disagreement. The pastor said, let's pray about it, and then we're going to call it Church on the Edge. What a name! But that church is growing in leaps and bounds and saving souls and miracles and signs and wonders and become well known now, you know, as a church that is a fast-growing church. Church on the Edge! Or maybe my church name is the church. Period. But things are happening. Things are happening. The contents that's coming out. The zeal, the power, the thousands. There is a ministry in Toowoomba called The Base. Let me tell you about The Base. The name itself, what? Base? What can come out from The Base? Alright? That place has no signboards. It just in the basement, no neon lights, no flashing lights, no cross, nothing. Every day, 12 o'clock sharp, a lot of homeless people will be gathering there, getting hot soup, okay, hot pizza, coffee and tea, and they all will gather, hundreds of them. And there will be literatures, Bibles, and people will pray for them and love them. It's called The Base. And the leader, unknown, he was an ex-drug addict. A month ago, he decided to create an awareness about homeless. He took his overnight, just a backpack, a sleeping bag, and sleep in the streets for 2 weeks. He never shaved. He literally looked at him. Wow, like those, you know, Osama bin Laden all over, very dirty, unkempt, smelly. He wanted to live like a homeless in order to create an awareness. And then the business community began to see that he was truly one man who's leading by example. And they begin to pump in the thousands of dollars into the ministry. Come on, The Base. So as a church, do we live by our labor or our contents? The world doesn't care what's your name of the church. They only care if you can meet their needs. Amen? They only care if you can have the answers for them. Our contents will define our labels. Jesus went about doing ministry, healing, saving, protecting, touching, teaching everybody, supporting them. He wasn't going around saying that I'm Jesus, I'm Messiah. No, he wasn't promoting about his name. He just went to do what he needed to do. People must come from all over the world and find the church as a place of refuge. The church will be a church of healing, a church of recovery, a church of security, a place of peace, a place of comfort, a place of love, and a place of hope. Is the church defining all this? Very soon, the whole town will be talking about that church. Not because of the name, but because of what comes out from the church. I'm going to ask you a very personal question then. What does Clarkston community know Zion Fellowship has? This is not a question for Pastor Philip and Irene. It's not for them. It's for all of us. We need to take account. We need to be accountable and responsible for the local church. What does the community around here know Zion Fellowship? Is it a place that opens up on Sunday or maybe Friday? Sad to say, when people refer to churches around the world, you know what? Every time you say, hey, do you know that church? The answer is, oh, you mean the one that the pastor is in the court facing trial for corruption? Oh, man. Or you mean the church that is so divided? Or the church where the pastor keep asking for money? Or is that a church where the pastor goes on TV and for all the wrong reason? We need to build a church where our contents go ahead of us, not the name, not the label. People from all over the world who may not be literate, they cannot understand, they cannot Google, they cannot use the GPS, but they just follow the crowd because something is happening there in this Zion Fellowship. Something is happening in this church. I remember I was in London. I wanted to go and watch a soccer game in Wembley Stadium. That was about 15 years ago, the old Wembley Stadium. And I want to watch my favorite team, Manchester United. Well, no, I'm going to have some enemies this morning. I'm sure some of you are not supporters. Okay, fine. Okay, so I went to book a ticket. I said, look, how do I get to Wembley? You know what the counter man say? Don't worry about the train. You will know the right train to take. I said, what do you mean? Okay, which team you support? I say, Manchester. Okay, look, the train will come. Before the train arrives, the noise will arrive. The noise arrives, and you look in the train. If it's red color, you go in. Oh, yeah. We were playing against Chelsea, I think. Then he said, if it's the blue, you better don't get in. Unless you want to be smashed up. See, just follow the crowd. It will bring you to your destiny. Church, that's what I want to see. That people will go to church because, not because there's a name there. We are a global mission church. We are a healing church. But because something is happening in that church. Amen? That's what we want to hear. We want to see the crowd will just follow. They may be blind. They may be illiterate. They may be on wheelchairs. They may be driving a Mercedes. They want to be there because something is happening. Labels and tags can be misleading, church. Can be deceptive. In this era of internet marketing, a lot of scams going on. They say that we put customer first. There's a 24/7 hotline you can call. Alright? Then you can return your product 30 days. No question asked. Full refund. After you buy the product, nobody answers the phone. You return something, they will say no. You see, internet marketing, tables, text, all these can be misleading. So, let me come back to the game that we play. Right? Majority of you wants to choose the Louis Vuitton. I don't blame you. I would have done the same. Because it is the one of the famous, okay, manufacturer of ladies' handbag. And every lady will want to lay their hands on it. And my wife got one of these too for her for a couple of years birthday. You see? And it's famous. But as soon as you open it and flip the back, it says, "Make in China." Pastor Irene knows. You see? Why? Deception. Have we not learned, church? We can only fool people for a short time. Let's go for the real stuff. Go for the real deal. The truth will eventually prevail. Don't try to be someone whom you are not. Soon we'll be found out. Church, let's walk the talk. Let's do what's real, what God has put upon us. As individuals, don't be somebody who you are not. Be real. Be truthful. If you can't, you can't. If you can, you want to do more. Amen? I remember sometimes, okay, before I tell you, this is the next slide. Anymore? Nope. Labels and tags can change the way we perceive or think. I remember when I was in the military days, we used to go to Thailand for training. Every time we go for the training, we have to stay in a hotel. This airbase is located in the town called Lop Buri, okay? It's in about 400 kilometers northwest of Bangkok. And because the airbase, and because the town is the only town next to the airbase, we have no choice but to live in that town. And the best hotel is called an inn, Robbery Inn. It's just a 2-star or 1-star. Can you imagine? It's like 3 in a room, common toilet, share, basins, just a tap, rusty, only 1 light bulb, no aircon, okay? The aircon is your own fan with the hand. So, the first detachment that went there, man, we come back so much full of complaints and all that because we're all stung by mosquitoes and we complain. But do we have a choice? We still need to go back because we are soldiers, right? We can't complain. So, one smart guy began to say, look, we have to change our mindset. I know Lobbery Inn is only 2-star, but we have no other choice. Let's change the name to Holiday Inn Lobbery. Ha ha! Now, although, yeah, tell me it's Lobbery Inn, but hey, sooner or later we all begin to, how are we going? Where are we going? Lobbery Inn, alright, Lobbery Inn, yeah, good. Stop. And very soon it begins to sink upon us that, look, it's Holiday Inn. It's not Lobbery Inn, it's Holiday Inn. Then we begin to accept some of this. We begin to adapt to it. We begin to change some of this because there's nothing you can do about it. You begin to adapt. But it's all in the mindset, amen? So sometimes, tags and labels can change the way we perceive things. But I'm going to close very soon. The relevant church, I believe the relevant church must bear some of these trademarks, some of these signatures, I would say. Number one, a true, relevant church must bear the true message of Jesus Christ.
It must not compromise on this aspect. Number two, you must continue to save souls. Alright, the scripture talks about signs and wonders. The Bible talks about speaking in tongues, laying of hands, prophecy. All these can be deceptive. I have come across a scripture that says, if you are saving souls, you cannot be aligned with God. You understand? If you are saving souls, you are aligned with God in the eternal purposes. But you can be demonstrating all signs and wonders, and you can still be in error. You understand what I'm talking about? So there are a lot of false teachers, false prophets, false healers out there. But if you are saving souls, there's only one destiny, unto God. Number third point, a relevant church must impact all spheres of society. Loving, giving, healing, providing, and protecting. And lastly, you must continue to demonstrate what Jesus did, signs and wonders that follow. Martin, can you come back? I want to finish. I want to say, look, there's this thing about Christians or churches, it's called ironic Christianity. I term it myself, ironic Christianity. Okay, before we are saved, what do? People work so hard, do all the good things, thinking that they want to get into heaven by good works. But God, Jesus says that it is by grace that you are saved, not by works. But once we are saved, we don't want to work anymore. We retire. But when you are saved, that's where we bring the gospel out there. To save, to touch, to minister. But no, we don't want to do that anymore. We only want to work hard to get into the kingdom. Get into the, sort of put our name in heaven. And after that, stop. This morning, I believe Jesus is going to ask each one of us. That is an inescapable question. Who am I to you? Church, if you do not read the Bible, if you don't pray enough, you will have nothing to talk about Jesus, sad to say. And what are you passionate about? You talk so much about? It's time you change. Because if you know Jesus for 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, and you still have nothing to talk about Jesus, I know that I'm getting very blunt this morning here. But it's about time. If you can talk about anything about the world, but you know Jesus for 30 years, and you have nothing to talk about Jesus, it's how sad it is. How sad it is. Jesus was called the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Have we impacted somebody, invested in somebody, influenced someone that you will always be remembered has a label? If people want to recall you, William, Ronnie, Pastor Philip, myself, people want to remember you. How they describe you? What kind of description they will have upon you? Don't be like me, the 10 most corrupted person in Australia. Don't be like me, the most wanted murderer. No, I don't want that. I want to be the most humble person, offering myself. Some of you may also be put a tag that you don't deserve. I believe this morning, Bible says, for you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We want to agree together and break this label, a tag that somebody has put upon you. Joseph the dreamer. He was called the dreamer. Doesn't matter. Yes, he was labeled as the dreamer. You know, in the wrong sense, a worldly sense, a dreamer, we call somebody a dreamer because they are good for nothing. They are always dreaming in class. They are dreaming in church. They are not good for anything. But Joseph, although he was labeled a dreamer, God raised him up to be the most powerful man in Egypt and saved the Israelites during the famine. You see, God can turn around things. Jacob the deceiver. God changed his name to become Israel. And he became the father of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Come on. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to break the bondage. Let's rise together and let's sing a song to close. You heard my word this morning, church. Labels or contents. I want to pray for a few group of people this morning. Those of us who have been put on labels, names, description that you know that has been stick on with you for years. And it has hindered your walk with God. It has hindered your progress of moving forward. And it's become a stigma. Today you come. The pastors and the leaders all begin to pray with you. Let's begin to believe that Jesus can break that yoke of bondage and over your life. And the second one is, I want to pray for people who have been Christians for years. When I say years, I say easily 3 years and more. You have attended Bible class, you have attended church, you have attended cell group. But when you ask, who is Jesus? You are mute. You have no words. You are speechless. This morning, I believe you have the knowledge. But you just lack the bonus to go forth. Come. Let's pray and release that bonus upon you. That you're going to step forward. Are you not going to be an evangelist? Doesn't matter. If you are, praise God. But you're going to be the voice to step out and say, yes. So come. As we sing the last song, just come forward and I'm going to pray with you.